Spring has sprung, so let's check in on our lawns, and let's welcome back Kevin Frank to MSU Today. Kevin is an associate professor in MSU's Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences Department and an extension turf specialist. Kevin, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So what kind of winter are we coming out of, and how will that impact our lawns this season?
You know, I think in general we probably had maybe more of a predictable winter for what people remember what winter used to be like. We certainly had a little bit of melt and, you know, some nice temps. And I think we had a little stretch in February and early March where it was some nice days. But March, as we still suffer through it right now, has been a cold one. And everybody's very eager for spring. I don't think overall, as far as winter is concerned, it did any lasting damage to turf. You know, the flooding events may have caused some issues on some golf courses locally where they flood up. But home lawns in general, probably nothing significant as far as winter's impact.
I was going to ask you, Kevin, and you touched on it, that record flooding in February, will that have any impact that's out of the ordinary?
Yeah, the good news with that, flooding is the time of year that it occurred. If that would have happened in July and sat on turf grass, you could have saw some significant death of turf in, you know, it might not even take a day or a little over a day for that water to be sitting there before you'd see the turf start dying. But the fact that we were still dormant just coming out of winter, combined with cold temperatures, cold water, sunlight is still pretty low in the sky at that time of year. The biggest problems you have on some of those sites, if they were associated with river or stream flooding, is just the soil that gets moved out of those stream beds and deposited on turf. And that can be an issue that people might have to try to sweep or brush off and then reseed. I know some golf courses have that issue. And, of course, here on campus, our baseball, softball, soccer complex, as I think many people saw, was under feet of water. As we saw some, I think, pretty record flooding. I mean, yeah. I've been here for, I think this is my 18th year here on campus, and I'd never seen it quite that bad. You see a flood, it's an unusual event, but that was pretty high water.
So, Kevin, what are some things lawn homeowners should do in these first few weeks of spring?
Yeah, I think right now the impetus is you want to do something, right? Because we're tired of being inside and we're just hoping for nice weather. We still got a little ways to go. It's been cold, you know, and even just this brief warm-up isn't speeding things along too much. I was just looking at soil temps today out at our research facility, and they're still in the 30s. And, you know, when we start to look at the types of applications homeowners are interested in, you get a lot of questions this time of year about putting down that crabgrass preventer, which is a pre-emergence herbicide. And there's a number of different ways you can look at that application. One is you look for soil temps about 50 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit at about a 2-inch depth, and we're not even close to that right now. We also track what are called heat units. We call them growing degree days. We actually have a website that looks at those, and sometimes I'll direct people when they're in a specific location, like, hey, when should I apply this? And we'll give them some indication there to give them a range to apply within. We're not even close there. If you don't like all the technical stuff, look for the forsythia blooming. I glanced at mine today that's on campus here as an indicator, which is on a south side of a building, so it always blooms a little earlier than other locations, and there isn't even anything close yet. So I think realistically with those applications, I wouldn't be surprised we're going to be about the middle of April, if not well into the first, second week of April before we look at those applications for their timing. So that's one thing people get thinking about. A lot of seeding questions, you know. Who knows? Something went bad last year. Or it's just like you're doing your spring house cleaning, you're doing your spring lawn cleaning with visions that you're going to make it better this year. And the big thing with that is, you know, you can put seed in the ground even when it's cold. It's just not much is going to happen with it. So you probably want to wait a little while also. And also remember, those two topics that I'm talking about don't go together. Pre-emergence or crabgrass preventer and new seed doesn't work. So if you're thinking you are at some point going to seed some areas, maybe parts of your lawn, make sure don't do any of that pre-emergence crabgrass, because that'll prevent your new seed from getting up also in addition to the weeds.
And Kevin, I think you want to remind listeners, when you're fertilizing anytime, watch the runoff, be careful, only put down what you need.
Yeah, you know, you want to follow the label directions, keep it on the turf, on the grass, keep it You don't want it on the sidewalks. You don't want it on the driveway. You don't want it in the streets. If you do have some that spills over into those areas, you want to contain that. Either pick it up, sweep it up, maybe use a backpack blower and move it back into the turf just so it stays on target. Because if it's off target on impervious surfaces, that's the quickest way it's going to enter our water bodies.
And what about those clippings, Kevin? People think it's a cleaner yard sometimes to pick them up, but you'd encourage people to leave that natural fertilizer.
Yeah, the only thing I think you can look at in the spring with regards to clippings is some people maybe didn't get all their leaf litter picked up. Or, you know, if you've got oak trees, a lot of those oak trees haven't even shed their leaves yet. You know, they don't shed them literally till the new leaves start popping through, so they'll be shedding them in the next couple weeks. So if you're grinding up leaves, that's fine. If you've got a mat of them there that you're not going to be able to really pick up with the mower, you know, and grind them back in, maybe you do want to pick them up. But regarding the clippings, yeah, I think generally I always recycle my clippings. There isn't a single time of the year that I don't leave them on place in the lawn. Regarding mowing too, you know, this time of year, some people think they're going to chase that brown growth, if that makes sense. You know, it looks matted right now. You're not going to drop the mowing height to get that stuff up. You know, if you want, just take a leaf rake. Now, not a garden rake, you know, just a leaf rake. You can just lightly kind of rake some of that dead material out. You know, if you got dogs, I've got dogs, and the grass off my front step is not looking pretty right now. It's going to need some help. It's not just dog spot anymore. It's the entire dog area. So, you know, you might rake a little of that up to stand it up. I might need to throw some new seed in there. It's basically just a salt issue. You know, people ask, well, what can I do for that? Usually as we get rainfall and stuff, it'll kind of leach those salts out of the profile, so it's not that big a deal of reseeding into it. Same thing that happens along road signs, right? It's just a salt issue. It's just our dogs concentrate it in that area. But besides that, you know, just go out there, mow at your normal height. Don't try to drop it down. Wait for the grass to start growing. You know, there's a lot of recreational mowing this time of year that you don't necessarily have to do.
And Kevin, you mentioned golf courses at the beginning. You do a lot of work with Michigan's golf courses. Again, they came through their winter well and expect a good season.
Yeah, I think overall from what I've seen, they come through really well. I haven't even seen a lot of snow mold this year. And I think that was probably a little bit of a factor of the type of winter we had, where we had good snow cover and then we kind of melted and cleared everything off and then had some more. So maybe some of that break in snow cover helped us out. But overall, I think with the exception of some courses that dealt with some flooding issues, I think came through pretty good, especially compared to some past years where we had some very significant issues with winter.
Well, Kevin, just summarize then the two or three key tips for spring lawn care.
Yeah, probably one of your biggest tips at this point is just kind of be patient. You know, wait for things to really start growing. Look at that forsythia bush if you're interested in putting down a crabgrass pre-emergence product. That's a good environmental indicator. Or, you know, just look at a soil temp of about 50 to 55 in your lawn. That would be another indicator. On average, the optimal timing for that is usually somewhere around, I know tax day moves a little bit, but, you know, I always used to say April 15th. And in this area, mid through Grand Rapids and greater Detroit area was always kind of a good indicator. Keep clippings in place, you know, don't chase mowing height. You know, if you need something to do, just go out there and rake up some of the dead tissue and, you know, hopefully we'll be off to a good start.
Kevin, thanks again, as always, for sharing your expertise with us.
No problem. Glad to do it.
That's Kevin Frank. He's an associate professor in MSU's Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences and an extension turf specialist. A lot more of what we've talked about online at turf.msu.edu. And you can follow Kevin on Twitter at MSU Turf. And I'm Russ White for MSU Today.